Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 10, which says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now, as we've been looking at this verse, we've been discussing some issues related to prayer, how for the members of the body of Christ today, what are the actual prayer promises that are given to us by the Apostle Paul? What are some of the things that individuals try to pull from the scriptures to say that this is what we should be praying for, this is how we should be praying? We looked at how those passages don't actually apply to us today. What we're going to look at today is some very specific prayers that the Apostle Paul makes in his epistles. Now, we're not going to go through every single prayer that the Apostle Paul offers up, because there are quite a few passages in his epistles where we can see his prayers. We're just going to look at a few of them, looking at some of the things of how it is that Paul is, by giving us these things in his epistles, is giving us that pattern of how it is that we should be praying. Because the Apostle Paul is our pattern. We are to follow him as he followed Christ. So when he gives us doctrine in his epistles, it gives us a good idea of what God intends for us to do. So let's start here. We're going to turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to look here in chapter number 2 to see what the Apostle Paul says here related to the issue of prayer. And we're going to read here the first two verses of chapter number 2. Verse 1 says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now, as we look at these verses here, we see how Paul talks about the issue of praying for all men. Now, when we look at that idea, we know that praying for all men starts with the issue of praying that individuals will receive salvation, that they will accept the gospel message given for us today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That's the very first thing that we should be praying for when we're talking about praying for all men. The next issue gets into the thing of where, if you continue down in this chapter, it talks about that it's God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So the next piece would be for individuals to be coming to that knowledge, growing in the information that's contained in Romans through Philemon, applying it to their lives, coming onto that knowledge. Now, as the Apostle Paul actually speaks about these things, talking about praying for these individuals, we see how he actually starts to talk about some very specific individuals that we should be praying for. When he says, and we'll read verse 2 again, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now, Paul doesn't say, well, pray only for the people that are in authority that you like. Pray for only the leaders that agree with you. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority. So whether you agree with them or not, part of our prayer life should be praying for kings and for all those that are in authority, and for a very specific purpose. We see this prayer, we say about the thing of, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That prayer is that for those who are in authority, that the members of the body of Christ can be able to continue to function as the members of the body of Christ, living according to the doctrine, and that those in authority are going to allow that to continue to happen. That's what this prayer is actually for. It's not praying for, well, Lord, I pray that our Senate will pass bill, and then quoting some bill number. It's the fact that, praying that our leaders will allow the body of Christ to actually function. In the United States, it's a very easy thing to say that, yes, that's happening. There are many countries in the world that can't say that same thing. They can't say that they're able to have that quiet and peaceable life because those who are in authority are doing things to thwart what God is actually attempting to do during this dispensation and trying to prevent this gospel message from going forth. Our prayer is that we want this gospel to keep going forward. We see how Paul, in this same epistle, is going to bring up another issue of prayer. Here, let's turn over to chapter number 4. And we're going to see how, as Paul is speaking about some things that are going on, we're going to start right at verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding the marrying, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Now we're going to read verses 4 and 5 in a moment, but we see in these first 3 verses is an issue of the opposition happening to the doctrine that's given to us, and how in as this dispensation continues on, that there are going to be individuals that are going to pull things out of, some of it's going to be scripture not rightly divided, some of it's going to be man's thought process, but it's going to be all of these different things that are designed specifically to pull people away from the truth of God's word rightly divided. And we see how the Apostle Paul actually speaks here in verses 4 and 5 about an issue related to prayer as he's talking about this thing of trying to get people to abstain from meats, trying to affect the diet of individuals in a negative way by twisting the things of what actually applies to us today. We see here verse 4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And we see how there's that issue of prayer being offered up related to the food that we are taking in. Because every creature of God is good, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That there's the thanksgiving, there's the prayer, and there's the word of God. That's the issue. And if those things are there, then the believer is doing exactly what God intends during the dispensation of the grace of God. And we see how prayer is an important part of this aspect. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter number 2. And we're going to see here something that the Apostle Paul is going to pray for. That, you know, we talked about last time how individuals try to say that our prayer life should only be related to spiritual things. But we're going to see here an example of where Paul's going to be praying for something in the physical realm here in Philippians chapter number 2. And we're going to start here at verse number 24. It says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Now, as Paul is speaking here about Epaphroditus, this individual that he calls my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, this is someone that Paul had been working with, that Paul cared about very much. They had been going out sharing this message as Paul had committed these things unto him. And we see how Paul starts to describe this thing of that Epaphroditus had become sick. Now, under Israel's program, there would have been the gift of healing, and how it would just been an issue of laying on of hands onto him, and the sickness would have departed from Epaphroditus. And you even see how in the book of Corinthians, it talks about the issue of healings still being present during the early part of Paul's ministry. Now, as Paul gets to the point of he's writing here to the church of Philippi, talking about Epaphroditus, by even what he's talking about here, it's very clear that the gift of healing is no longer in place to where he could have just put his hand on him and had a thing of where, okay, now all of this sickness has gone away from him. Instead, it's an issue of prayer, asking for God to extend mercy unto him. Now, I'm sure all of us can think about individuals that, you know, whether it's in our family, whether it's in the local assembly, what, you know, individuals that we know that have had health issues that we pray to God related to the fact of praying for God to extend mercy unto them. You know, and that we see how if it was, you know, looking at the passages we talked about last time, especially in Romans chapter number 8, that things work out according to God's will with that. And, you know, we don't actually see the miracle actually be performed, but we see how a person has recovery that happens. You see how, even as Paul's talking here about Epaphroditus, you see how it talks about those things, about how he's even been able to be sent unto Philippi after he recovered when God demonstrated that mercy. But that started with the issue of Paul praying for that mercy to come upon him. We see how Paul even talks about his own circumstances, things. And let's turn back a chapter here in the book of Philippians. We'll turn to chapter number 1. And we're going to see Paul pray specifically about the circumstances he's in here in verses 19 and 20 of Philippians chapter 1. It says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Now, we know that the Apostle Paul is not actually praying for his own salvation, because that has already occurred. So it is not, you know, when we see salvation, you know, it doesn't always mean the issue of somebody being saved and being identified as a member of the body of Christ. When the Apostle Paul, here in verse 19 of Philippians 1, is talking about this issue of salvation, if you read the verses that had preceded, you know, this issue, what he's talking about here in verse 19 is he's asking for these saints in Philippi to pray for him. We see that he's talking about the issue of, like in verse 16, when it says, "The one preached Christ at contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds." The Apostle Paul was in prison as he was writing this epistle to the assembly in Philippi, and what he's actually praying for here and asking the saints in Philippi to pray for is this issue of when he says, "Shall turn to my salvation through your prayer," is that praying for the fact that he would be saved, he'd be delivered from prison, that he would be able to leave the prison, be able to go out and, you know, see the saints in Philippi, to be able to go out and continue to preach this message, to be able to function as he speaks about over in, to the assembly in Ephesus, when he talks about that his responsibility was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The only way that he would truly be able to say that, yes, I'm doing all this, is by the fact that he's going out and preaching this message. Yes, we have his written word. Yes, the written word is going to has an impact on individuals. But the Apostle Paul also wanted to be able to go out and preach this message. He wanted to be able to have the fellowship with the saints. And that's what he's truly praying for, is to be able to go and see them and have that time of fellowship. You know, that's why when we look at the importance of even coming together as a local assembly, the biggest part of it is that way we can have that fellowship, that we can be able to have that time with the other members of the body of Christ. You know, and it's a glorious thing that when you have a local assembly in your area, and that you don't have to, you know, and there are individuals who they're the only ones in their area that even trust this message, or, you know, it's a couple hour drive for them to have to go to a local assembly, and the difficulty that that brings to be able to try to do that on a week to week basis. And yet you have Paul praying here about that he wants this salvation so that way he can be able to go and see them. And as part of even wanting to go and see individuals, we see another issue of the prayer that the Apostle Paul offers up. And let's turn over to Romans chapter number 1. And we're going to see something that the Apostle Paul says here about this issue of this prayer here in Romans chapter number 1. We're going to start here at verse number 7. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, the first thing we see is Paul talking about how he was, you know, in verse 9, without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, this is an assembly that Paul has never been to. He's never met these individuals at all. And yet we see him talk about how he's, without ceasing, mentioning them in his prayers, that he's praying for these saints that he's never met, that they're going to be able to, you know, continue in the Word of God rightly divided. That they're going to be continuing to follow this doctrine. Now, we see as part of this prayer that he's talking about that he might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He's praying that he's going to have a safe journey to be able to get to them, to be able to minister to them. Now, that was a very important part of thing, because you look over in 2 Corinthians and you see how he talks about all of these different things that came unto him. And as he's describing those things, you would see how all of these things would be happening to him really as he was journeying from city to city, that these things would have been occurring unto him. We talk about robbers and, you know, these various other hardships happening to him, all as part of this journey. And here he is saying, you know what, I'm praying that I'm going to have this safe journey to be able to come unto you, to be able to minister God's word unto you as saints that I've never met. And yet I'm going to write this important book that lays out all of this doctrine to you, and I want to actually come unto you. And you see how he even lays out, you know, as he's, you know, closing out this epistle, that he starts talking about how that he's, you know, making the plan to come unto them. If you go over to chapter number 15 in this book, you see here in verse number 28 when it says, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I come by you into Spain. And he said, but this is the plan that I have to be able to come unto you. I'm planning to be there, and I'm going to be praying for the mercies in that journey to be able to come unto you in a safe manner, so that way I can actually be able to minister unto you and be able to do exactly what God would intend, which is to be able to fellowship, to be able to share things of God's word, to be able to help them to grow in the knowledge of what God's word actually says for them. Now, those were just a couple of examples related to the very specific things that we see the Apostle Paul talking about related to prayer and how this should actually be done for the members of the body of Christ today. And what we need to make sure of is that we're not going to have any of that confusion that comes by trying to pull passages that have no application to us and trying to make them fit into who we are as the members of the body of Christ. Now, Next week, we're going to continue looking at things in this verse. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's being broadcast on Facebook. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.